The man's craggy smile did not change outwardly, but now he seemed actually amused.
You don't have a job waiting for you at home. You have nothing waiting for you there. Meanwhile, I am offering you a perfectly legal job. Good money, limited security, remarkable fringe benefits. Hell, if you live that long, I could throw in a pension plan. You think maybe you'd like one of them?
You could have seen my name on my boarding pass, or on the side of my bag.
The man said nothing.
Whoever you are, you couldn't have known I was going to be on this plane. I didn't know I was going to be on this plane. And if my plane hadn't been diverted to St. Louis, I wouldn't have been. My guess is you're a practical joker. Maybe you're hustling something. But I think maybe we'll have a better time if we end this conversation here.
The man shrugged. Shadow picked up the in-flight magazine. The little plane jerked and bumped through the sky, making it harder to concentrate. The words floated through his mind like soap bubbles. There as he read them, gone completely a moment later. The man sat quietly in the seat beside him, sipping his Jack Daniels. His eyes were closed. Shadow read the list of in-flight music channels available on transatlantic flights, and then he was looking at the map of the world with red lines on it that showed where the airline flew. Then he had finished reading the magazine, and reluctantly he closed the cover and slipped it into the pocket on the wall. The man opened his eyes. There was something strange about his eyes, Shadow thought. One of them was a darker gray than the other. He looked at Shadow.
By the way,
he said,
I was sorry to hear about your wife, Shadow. A great loss.
Shadow nearly hit the man then. Instead, he took a deep breath. He counted to five.
So was I.
The man shook his head.
If it could but have been any other way,
he said and sighed.
She died in a car crash,
said Shadow.
It's a fast way to go. Other ways could have been worse.
The man shook his head slowly. For a moment, it seemed to Shadow as if the man was insubstantial, as if the plane had suddenly become more real while his neighbor had become less so.
Shadow, it's not a joke. It's not a trick. I can pay you better than any other job you'll find will pay you. You're an ex-con. There's not a long line of people elbowing each other out of the way to hire you.
Mr. Whoever the fuck you are,
said Shadow, just loud enough to be heard over the din of the engines.
There isn't enough money in the world.
The grin got bigger. Shadow found himself remembering a PBS show he had seen as a teenager about chimpanzees. The show claimed that when apes and chimps smile, it's only to bare their teeth in a grimace of hate or aggression or terror. When a chimp grins, it's a threat. This grin was one of those.
Sure, there's money enough. And there are also bonuses. Work for me and I'll tell you things. There may be a little risk, of course, but if you survive, you can have whatever your heart desires. You could be the next King of America. Now, who else is going to pay you that well,
Who are you?
Ah, yes, the age of information. Young lady, could you pour me another glass of Jack Daniels, easy on the ice? Not, of course, that there has ever been any other kind of age. Information and knowledge, these are currencies that have never gone out of style.
I said, who are you?
Let's see. Well, seeing that today certainly is my day, why don't you call me Wednesday? Mr. Wednesday. Although given the weather, it might as well be Thursday, eh?
What's your real name?
Worked for me long enough and well enough, and I may even tell you that. There, job offer. Think about it. No one expects you to say yes immediately. Not knowing whether you're leaping into a piranha tank or a pit of bears. Take your time.
He closed his eyes and leaned back in his seat.
I don't think so. I don't like you. I don't want to work with you.
Like I say, don't rush into it. Take your time.
The plane landed with a bump and a few passengers got off. Shadow looked out of the window. It was a little airport in the middle of nowhere, and there were still two little airports to go before Eagle Point. Shadow transferred his glance to the man in the pale suit. Mr. Wednesday? He seemed to be asleep. Shadow stood up, grabbed his bag, and stepped off the plane, down the steps onto the slick wet tarmac, walking at an even pace toward the lights of the terminal. A light rain spattered his face. Before he went inside the airport building, he stopped and turned and watched. No one else got off the plane. The ground crew rolled the steps away, the door was closed, and it taxied off down the runway. Shadow stared at it until it took off, then he walked inside to the budget car rental desk, the only one open, and he rented what turned out, when he got to the parking lot, to be a small red Toyota. Shadow unfolded the map they had given him. He spread it out on the passenger seat. Eagle Point was about 250 miles away, most of the journey on the freeway. He had not driven a car in 3 years. The storms had passed, if they had come this far. It was cold and clear. Clouds scudded in front of the moon, and for a moment Shadow could not be certain whether it was the clouds or the moon that was moving. He drove north for an hour and a half. It was getting late. He was hungry, and when he realized how hungry he really was, he pulled off at the next exit and drove into the town of Nottaman, population 1,301. He filled the gas tank at the Amoco and asked the bored woman at the cash register where the best bar in the area was, somewhere that he could get something to eat.
Jack's Crocodile Bar. It's west on County Road North.
Crocodile Bar?
Yeah. Jack says they add character.
She drew him a map on the back of a mauve flyer, which advertised a chicken roast to raise money for a young girl who needed a new kidney.
He's got a couple of crocodiles, a snake, one of them big lizard things.
An iguana?
That's him.
Through the town, over a bridge, on for a couple of miles, and he stopped at a low rectangular building with an illuminated Pabst sign and a Coca-Cola machine by the door. The parking lot was half empty. Shadow parked the red Toyota and went inside. The air was thick with smoke, and Walkin' After Midnight was playing on the jukebox. Shadow looked around for the crocodiles, but could not see them. He wondered if the woman in the gas station had been pulling his leg.
What'll it be?
You Jack?
It's Jack's night off. I'm Paul.
Hi, Paul. House beer. And a hamburger with all the trimmings. No fries.
Bowl of chili to start. Best chili in the state.
Sounds good. Where's the restroom?
The man pointed to a door in the corner of the bar. There was a stuffed alligator head mounted on the door. Shadow went through the door. It was a clean, well-lit restroom. Shadow looked around the room first, force of habit.
Remember, Shadow, you can't fight back when you're pissing.
Low-key said. Low-key, as always, in the back of his head. He took the urinal stall on the left. Then he unzipped his fly and pissed for an age, relaxing, feeling relief. He read the yellowing press clipping framed at eye level with a photo of Jack and two alligators. There was a polite grunt from the urinal immediately to his right, although he had heard nobody come in. The man in the pale suit was bigger standing than he had seemed sitting on the plane beside Shadow. He was almost Shadow's height, and Shadow was a big man. He was staring ahead of him. He finished pissing, shook off the last few drops, and zipped himself up. Then he grinned, like a fox eating shit from a barbed wire fence.
So, you've had time to think, Shadow. Do you want a job?
Somewhere in America, Los Angeles, 11:26 p.m. In a dark red room, the color of the walls is close to that of raw liver, is a tall woman dressed cartoonishly in two tight silk shorts, her breasts pulled up and pushed forward by the yellow blouse tied beneath them. Her black hair is piled high and knotted on top of her head. Standing beside her is a short man wearing an olive t-shirt and expensive blue jeans. He is holding in his right hand a wallet and a Nokia mobile phone with a red, white, and blue faceplate. The red room contains a bed, upon which are white satin-style sheets and an oxblood bedspread. At the foot of the bed is a small wooden table, upon which is a small stone statue of a woman with enormous hips and a candle holder. The woman hands the man a small red candle.
Here, light it.
Me?
Yes, if you want to have me.
I should have just got you to suck me off in the car.
Perhaps. Don't you want me?